Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Probably not a cooler guy on the planet than Yogi Roth. Like backpacking in the wilderness, soul searching, hanging out with star quarterbacks, coaches. He's got a cool job on the Pac-12 networks. He's also a surfer. Nothing cooler than a surfer. Yogi, how are you, man? You surfing today?
No, we went the last 2 days pretty hard. I took our 5-year-old out yesterday. Which was fun at sunrise after we finished up at sunset the previous night, and he was exhausted. So today was kindergarten. We got to focus on the academics, first day of school. So no waves. We had fresh T-shirts, new backpack, you know, try to create a inviting environment for this little guy.
You know, in California, you guys are a little ahead of us. In Oregon, we're starting after Labor Day, but I'm dreading the homeschooling because I did it to finish the school year. It was hard, man. Are you in charge of anything, or is your wife handling that?
Oh, well, we dropped out in the spring of preschool. We just it didn't work after a while. So it's a big bounce back opportunity for us right now. We've got a newborn, so Amy's pretty much on life support and call for him. Obviously, just kind of making sure he's still surviving. So yeah, I'm all in, man. It's like conference call with the Pac-12, right to a Zoom session with his teacher. But it's been fun. With day one, he enjoyed it. So I think it's fun. It's like everything now. Like, we got to reimagine everything from kindergarten to college football schedules. And if you're not doing that, you're going to get left behind. So I'm up for the challenge. And I will guarantee he won't drop out of kindergarten because L.A. doesn't allow that to necessarily happen. We want to keep it moving.
Yeah, I wonder what happens. They knock on your door, truant officer, something like that goes on if you're not participating. There must be some protocol. By the way, congratulations on the newborn.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's been beautiful, especially, you know, during these just weird times that are uneasy and, you know, there's so much happening. You know, you see the light in a baby's eyes or a 5-year-old's eyes, like, it's pretty cool. And even when I told Zane, he's our 5-year-old, that, you know, I wasn't going to go to games over the next couple months, he's like, so you're not gone for 3 days? You get to be home? And that made me feel good because I was, you know, it hits you when it becomes really real that, like, you're not going to do what you love for the next couple months. And, since 1996, I've been doing football at some level. So I'm going to miss it. But when you have little guys, as you know, or girls, like, it makes everything a little bit easier.
Amen. Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Networks with us. Yogi, the hire of Merton Hanks, I think it's a great hire. I think it's the right hire. It brings some football IQ into the headquarters. How do you see Merton Hanks having an impact?
Oh, I think it's great. Got to interview him, talked to him yesterday afternoon. And for me, it was fun because I grew up a Niners fan. So I knew Merton Hanks way before he was an executive. I wish I could move like Merton Hanks, but he was fun to watch compete as a 10-year-old, watching the Niners roll like they did with Deion and Kenny Norton and Gary Plummer and all those guys. And you know that team well as well. And now to read about him and learn about him, you know, I didn't track him. You know, I didn't know what he did in the NFL around player safety. Didn't know what he was doing in Conference USA. So he's primed for the job. He's jacked. He's excited for the job. I talked to coaches. They're looking forward to it. He's just got a great demeanor about him. He's been there. I think that always helps with players in this era. You know, it just does. So when he'll go around, you know, whenever proverbial training camps begin, and he'll get to know guys and they'll talk to him, you know. And we were joking with him yesterday. You could hear it on the podcast where we said, hey, man, you and Herm Edwards, Justin Wilcox, like, we get like a DB clinic of some sorts. You know, people that have a connection to the Bay or up there right now, get Dwayne Aquina. It'd be pretty fun. So he's easygoing. He's competitive. I think he's going to be a great addition to the Pac-12 conference, to the networks and everybody that touches that.
right now, we were having a little bit of a debate before you came on. You've got some conferences that really want to play or are trying to play. You got the Pac-12 and the Big Ten saying, look, we value student athletes. Are we at a crossroads for college athletics where it has to decide moving forward what it, you know, what do we want to be? What is it going to look like? Are we at a major crossroads right now?
Man, I hope so, because if we're not, like, what does a major crossroads look like? I mean, honestly, it's a bummer. Like, I think out of chaos or out of adversity comes clarity, right? You find out who people are. You learn that playing sports at a young age. You learn it as you get older in business or whatever your craft is. You're learning it in education, as we just referenced earlier. And we're learning it in football. And as much as all these Power 5 conferences are on the same page in March, we saw that just dissipate over the last couple of weeks. And that's sad for me. I'm a purist. You know, I don't think anyone or anything is bigger than the game. And I think right now there's so many varying opinions about what's best for the game or what's best for the people playing it, that it kind of misses on the reality, which is today. Like, today, NIL doesn't exist. Today, they're still college student athletes. Today, coaches, administrators, presidents are still responsible for them. Today, we don't have a cure for coronavirus, let alone know a lot about the future of that. And those are just some facts of today. And I think it's hard when all of a sudden now conferences who are already pitted against one another based on inequities to scheduling, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We can go on that for all day long. Now we have another one. So it was an opportunity for the game to unite people, maybe unite a country, at least around a game, around a craft, and it's not. It's become three leagues versus two. And that's sad to me, to be blunt. So, yeah, I hope to God over the course of the next couple months there's a building somewhere that says this is going to be the headquarters of college football, because it's too big to be in Indianapolis. And quite honestly, it's not, right? There's part of it in Indy. It's part of it in Bristol. It's part of it probably in a bunch of other places around the country as well. When you look at even the competition committee is part of the NCAA. The NCAA decides eligibility when players transfer, but the CFP was created by ESPN. Like, what to me, it's too big of a sport to not have even more authority guiding it and managing it and hopefully bringing some cohesion towards it.
Yeah, there needed to be a centralized decision, at least with the Power Fives. I mean, we all sort of recognize, okay, there's a separation, Power Fives, non-Power Fives, but within the five major conferences, there needed to be some kind of centralized decision-making, and I was disappointed, too, when that broke down. Back to kind of what you talked about with the football sort of, you know, football drives the bus. It's the revenue in those athletic departments. How can a guy like Merton Hanks, who's got a football background, help coaches with scheduling, rules, policies? How, you know, explain to people that, you know, you've been around the conference for a long time. You're around a lot of coaches. How can a voice in the room who understands football help the coaches and the programs ultimately?
Well, I think there's a lot. And I think everybody at the Pac-12 has always been about, like, how do we – like, everybody wants the same thing, right? Everybody wants the team to go to the playoff and not only get that respect as the playing, but also the other elements. You go to the playoff, whether it's financially, reputation-wise, recruiting-wise. I mean, there's so many elements. You know, I talk to recruits. All they care about, all they know about is the teams that go to the playoff for the most part, right? So I wonder, like, if that question's even – if I would answer it differently, if – USC doesn't lose at Wazoo a couple years ago with Darnold. They're in the playoff. Or if Utah wins the Pac-12 title last year. You know, so now I think to spin it forward, I think what Merton Hanks is going to do, he's just going to bring in a fresh lens on the craft, a fresh lens, almost kind of like a exhale, reset. Let's talk about all the issues that kind of come up. And I don't even think all of them are fair when they come up. You know, like the officiating thing, when you really look at the numbers of like targeting, for instance, there's way more targeting penalties called in other conferences, but it's just become a thing because a couple of years ago, the Pac-12 was crazy and Pac-12 refs was easy to, you know, talk about on social media. And now it's just kind of like the default button. If you don't like a call, you know, that's not really the facts. When you really study the numbers, and I study them every week preparing for games, I compare every conference, what penalties got called, when in the game, why, et cetera, et cetera. And I talked to David Coleman about our head of officiating usually every Wednesday. I would give him 10, 15 plays and say, let's talk through these. So I think what Merton's going to do is kind of give a relative clean slate from a perceptual standpoint, even though I don't think the perception was always accurate when it would get lit up based on just the one topic as of officiating. I think even more so coming in as a guy who's been at so many levels, it's just going to help in that regard in terms of he played at such a high level, as I referenced earlier, that's a big deal. I think coaches, when they introduce him, it's going to be with a little more reverence just because of, you know, where he's been to a certain degree. So I think that'll help. And overall optics, I think hiring somebody with his experience is a good move. So I'm excited, man. He was cool to talk to. I think he's going to help this conference out. And football, as you referenced or alluded to, it's moving. Something's going to change, right? Whether the playoff gets expanded, recruiting dates are likely going to shift, or that's going to be a discussion. If somebody like Merton will be in that room and probably doing a lot of listening first. But thankfully for me, probably the best part of his bio was him being in the college space, because he understands those landscapes and he understands it at a conference that didn't have nearly the resources the Pac-12 does. So I imagine it'll be all positive moving forward with him.
We're talking to Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Networks. Yogi, you get to spend a lot of time around the coaches, and over the years we've had fun conversations about, you know, who would win in a fight and who, you know, if you were, it was going to be WWE wrestling, who would win. I was watching Jeopardy last night, and I'm curious to know who you think among the 12 coaches would be, like, who's going to win in Jeopardy if we put all the coaches of Special Jeopardy Pac-12 Coaches Edition?
You know, I just looked at the teams, and I'm like, I can make an argument across the board. Like, first I was like, yeah, Justin Wilcox, he'll roll. And then I'm like, well, Carl Durrell, I bet he's as well-read as anybody, right? And you think, you know, David Shaw, I mean, Stanford degree. Chip knows things like it's amazing when you talk to him about non-football,
yeah,
where his mind goes. And then Rollo is as eccentric in his own way. You know, I probably just as much as Coach Leach, but just in a probably down a different freeway. So I'd probably go with those guys off the top, but it'd be fun. I always felt like this is my idea. It'll never work, but I always wanted to host during an election year a debate among head coaches. Right. And just go there. And I would love to, put David Shaw against anybody. Like David Shaw, Nick Saban, let's ride. You know, that would be awesome, let alone within the conference. But I think now our conference, actually, John, and I just talked to Coach Wilcox yesterday. I've been talking to a lot of coaches and ADs over these last couple of weeks. It's the most united it's ever been. So it'd be pretty fun to take a poll from the coaches. Who would they want to put out to represent them in that regard? And then throw down with, you know, the dudes at the other Power 5 conference, like, all right, Dabo, what you got? You know, Coach Saban, what's up? And, kind of, you know, Coach Herman or Lincoln, it'd be pretty cool to see our best. Maybe that is Coach Shaw. I would call him the conscience of college football up against some of the other heavyweights in college football.
I think David Shaw would be really tough to beat in Jeopardy. And you know what? I like Mario Cristobal and Jonathan Smith, but they're so football-centric. I'm not even sure they know what's going on in the rest of the world. Like, I, you know, I'll talk to them about other things, and they're just like, we're grinding, we're recruiting, we're, you know, and it's really interesting. You know, I brought, okay, so the Civil War, the typical Oregon-Oregon State rivalry game is in November, and so one year, I brought Mark Helfrich and Gary Anderson on at the same time to have a debate about the rivalry, and what I got out of that, Yogi, was that Gary Anderson was a little better on his feet, and Helfrich was really tentative, afraid to say something wrong. He was really choosing his words carefully. He was not at all comfortable with the format of it being so loose and free. I think you learn a lot about people in a situation like that.
Well, I wonder, too, like if both of those teams were 10-0 or 11-0. Like, are both of them kind of choosy with their words? You know, just knowing what Oregon was, you know, at one point with Coach Helfrich. But, yeah, man, I would love it. I'd love the debates right now. I'd love to debate the real issues in college football, you know, and because I think there's some great points that when you talk to coaches, they bring up, and you're like, I never really thought about that.
I think it'd be a great show. Why don't you do that? Why don't you host that? Let's produce it.
I'm in. Let's bring it. Let's go, baby. I'm in. I'll make the call after this. We just need to get the talent in, which I've learned. If you want to do anything good, you kind of got to come to the table with some talent. So see if we can get some coaches in.
All right, you look across this season. By not playing in the fall, which Pac-12 program do you think lost the most?
That's a good question. I mean, that's tough. I wouldn't say kind of uniquely, maybe Oregon to a degree, because they had so much juice,
yeah,
you know, and they knock out Ohio State at home. I mean, you would have been there. It would have been insane. But I don't think that hurts them. Like, I think now, like, and I believe this, and I've told this to, you know, everybody in our office, I think the longer Oregon, SC, the big brands in this conference don't lose, the better it is for them, right? Who can tell you? Clay Helton, Google Clay Helton. It ain't about the hot seat anymore. It's about a top 10 recruiting class, right? Oregon, they're rolling under Mario. Stanford, poll your listeners. How many kids say what their record was last year? Right, they're 4-8. Nobody remembers that. You know, so I do think for these teams, it's going to be better for some of the brands and even the brand of the conference to, you know, get even more time, you know, because there was a world if they go 0-3 with UW, SC, and Oregon, the Pac-12 narrative is kind of what it was regarding the Auburn games over the last couple seasons, which I don't think is fair and doesn't necessarily happen to other conferences, but it is reality. So, yeah, I think that's a really good question. And I also think the ones that really would have been challenged, like Colorado and Washington State and even UW with the new offense and a quarterback, I think they really benefit from this thing. So I'd probably go there regarding that answer. But it's a fun topic to bang around because even now SC, they just lost the best interior defensive lineman in this conference in Jake Tefele. You know, maybe it hurt them the most because, to me, I had them winning the Pac-12 South coming in the season, and he was a huge reason why.
Yogi, I wish you the best with the kindergarten classes. I hope we get to see some games in the spring. I hope everyone stays healthy, and wish you the best. Surfing's a good thing you can do during coronavirus, right? There's natural distancing there.
Natural distancing? Yeah, you don't want to be around me probably with my board when I eat it because you don't want to get injured. So, yeah, social distancing is good with that. And I hope we see football, John, in the winter. I hope the Big Ten and the Pac-12 come together, same schedule. I would love to see it, like, play it in Vegas and L.A. Coronavirus really isn't under control. Play it in a dome. And let's go ride in the Rose Bowl weekend of the Final Four. So, something epic like that. I would love if these two conferences, at least two of the five, came together to a certain degree.
Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Networks. Thank you, sir.
All right, brother.
Take care. There he is, live from his homeschooling. We're all going to be there, people. If you got kids, we're all going to be there. We're going to be in it together. And bless you. Have patience. Hydrate. Get in a good athletic stance when you're teaching. Great stuff from Yogi Roth. Leave it here. Blazers-Lakers game two. We'll talk about that and kick that around in the 1 o'clock hour. Plus, there's a mouse in the house. I'll tell you more about that. And how did the chicken sandwich exactly become the biggest thing in America when it comes to fast food options? We'll discuss that and more. Plus, John Wilner of the Bay Area News Group will talk to us about the Pac-12 and other things. I know I do a lot of Pac-12 talk, but into the Pac-12, I think a lot of you are into the Pac-12. I'm also into these NBA playoffs and what's going to happen with the Blazers and trying to figure out what the heck we're all supposed to be doing if there's not going to be college football in the fall, or at least college football as we know it in the fall. More still ahead. Hour number one just flew by, didn't it? Glad Merton Hanks is in the conference.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced
Truth. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.